Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son, how are ya?
Hey, Bully, great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got kids, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast.
This episode is sponsored by the Colonel, Alex Sanders. To be more like Alex, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show and become an official sponsor today.
If you're feeling low, the Joe Marler Show will give you things to talk about. If you're feeling down, then the Bearded Clown will give you things to talk about.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Joe Marler and this is Tom Fordyce.
Joe, it's nice to see you.
Yeah.
As we walked to the studio today, it was quite clear that spring is in the air.
What? Why was that clear?
Because it was warm, there was blossom on the trees, and there was a smile on everyone's faces. What is your favourite season, Joe?
Oh, yeah, good. Off-season.
Yeah.
I do really like spring. But then I like winter as well because it gets dark and gloomy.
You like that?
I do, yeah. I do really like dark and gloomy. You know I like dark and gloomy. I just need to not spend all my time in that dark and gloomy place. I also like snuggling up, watching a series, having fires. Not in the house, like outside outside fires.
Outdoor fires.
Summer, yeah, I like summer. Summer's lovely because everyone like gets a nice glow about them and they're happy when it's sunny.
It's sounding to me like autumn is your least favourite season.
What one's that?
Before winter.
Autumn's a bit shit, isn't it?
Neither one thing nor the other.
Well, what is it? What is it? Tell me what it is.
It's transitional, isn't it?
Yeah, but what is it? What do you mean? They're all transitional, you tit.
Yeah, but it's... Whereas winter is, oh, it's going to be the coldest it will be, and summer is, oh, it'll be the hottest it will be, autumn just slides you from hot to cold.
What's spring then?
Slides you from cold to hot.
So it's also transitional. It's just the fact that you think of chocolate and lambing.
Here's another question, Joe, having asked you what your favourite season is. What is your favourite seasoning?
Chinese five spice.
I knew it.
First of all, what's your favourite season then?
Spring every time, Joe.
Why?
Because for me, it's like the Christmas Eve of the seasons in that you haven't burnt through any summer. You've got all the prospects of summer joy, but you haven't got that sinking feeling you get quite early in summer where you think, this is all finite.
Finite?
Could be over soon.
Talking of finite, do you think like the universe goes on?
Ooh. In distance terms or?
Yeah.
Yes. How far do you think it goes?
Well, finite. What's your favourite seasoning?
What are the five spices, since we're questioning each other at pace? What are the five spices of the Chinese five spice?
Oregano.
Doubt it, but yeah.
Well, it is.
Okay.
It's like when they make swans out of paper.
Yeah.
And then saffron, turmeric, cayenne pepper, and chilli powder.
Okay.
And soy sauce.
That's Chinese six spice.
Excellent.
Joe, we have a guest to get on. Before we do, let's remind our listeners that you can now grow the show on Apple. For a single pound a week, you can get a version of this show without adverts. And Joe, the episodes are extra long.
No.
Sometimes, Joe, they're 20 minutes longer, but still loaded, full of the good stuff. You can also, Joe, do the same on Spotify. Simply check the link in the episode description. If you are, by contrast, on Apple, look for the button, Joe, that says...
Yeah, you look for the button that says, grow the show. So
yeah.
grow it by pressing that button. If you want to, we're not forcing you. But if you would like to, press that button, please.
Joe, our guest today is a funeral director.
I didn't ask.
Joe, would you like to welcome an unspecified guest to your podcast?
Let's get them on.
Our guest today is Fred, and he's a funeral director. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Joe.
I realise I said hello, Fred, and looked at Tom, mainly because... Did I say funeral wrong?
No, you've got a strange way of saying funeral. I can't do it either.
Go on, say funeral.
You could also say undertaker, if that's easier, but that might make you think of the wrestler, but that's also what we're called, funeral director or undertaker.
Okay. So we'll go with Fred, the undertaker / funeral director.
But I'm saying if you say...
Funeral.
You're worried about saying funeral, undertaker's fine.
He didn't mention Paul Bearer in that, and Paul Bearer was his dad in wrestling.
But, and he always used to have a pot of ashes with him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Quite dark, actually.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
What I'm trying to work out in my head, Paul Bearer. What would that mean?
If you bear something, that means to carry it, doesn't it? You know, bearing a load or something would be carrying.
So maybe the first person that died in the world was called Paul.
Or the first FSO was called Paul, and they had a team of Pauls, and they went, get the Paul Bearers. So that probably might be it.
I want that to be the story. The first one to carry a coffin was called Paul, so they called it Paul Bearer, and that's just stuck.
If you are a Paul Bearer and your first name is Paul, get in touch with us in all the usual social places.
I like how we've started quite light on...
Are we going to go dark today, John?
Well, on a subject that I was kind of... Coming into it, I was a bit like, whoa, this one will be... It'll be tough.
Because you sent me a text on the way down and I sensed a certain amount of concern.
There is concern. There's concern that whenever I think about death or whenever I talk about death, I can feel it already. I can feel it in the room. Obviously, no one listening can feel it, but already it's like... Oh, fuck, the tone's changed. Mm. I'm a little bit nervous that it'll be too doom and gloom. But then doom and gloom is doom and... That's why it's called fucking doom and gloom, isn't it?
The thing is with funerals is, it's one of those things which everybody in the world is going to lose somebody, whether it's your mum, your dad, your grandparents, a child. You know, everybody's going to lose somebody. But it's never talked about. And for us in the profession, we find it difficult because... People don't think about it. And then what happens is this big event happens in your life. You're really, really upset because you've lost somebody, but then you don't know what that person wanted. So that's where we've got to use our expertise in guiding them through the process of what they want. Because when my dad first started the business 25 years ago, funerals were very, very basic. They would be at a church, buried in a churchyard. So you'd know you'd be going to the church. The coffin would be taken to the church. We only ever had one coffin, and that would be taken to the church. You'd have a service in the church, and then the person would get buried outside. Whereas nowadays, it's developed into these very big events, and they're getting a bit like weddings, where you can have doves, orders of service, you can have specialist vehicles, you can have coloured coffins. It's getting more and more of these, you know, big events for people. Horse and carriage, instead of a normal hearse, you can have a horse and carriage. And it is a big event. And that's why we always say to people is it's better to have that conversation before the person dies. Now, I don't mean, you know, at 21 years old, having a conversation with your son about what's the matter with him, but having a conversation with your mum or your dad, you know, when they're 60 years old and saying, what do you actually want, in the long run would be very beneficial for people. And it is a difficult thing to talk about. We understand that. But if you have that conversation then, it's a lot easier moving forward because everyone thinks they're going to last forever. Everyone thinks we're going to live to 120, or scientists will make this formula which we'll drink and we'll live forever. But unfortunately, that ain't going to happen. We're all going to die. Sadly, I don't mean to bear a bad news, but there's a high chance you are going to die.
What?
What, both me and Joe?
Fuck.
Just to clarify this, both me and Joe are going to die?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Fucking hell.
Steve, you have fucking got a lot to answer for here. You've brought Fred on board, and he's come in, and he's just fucking told me and Tom we're going to die.
Thanks, a fucking bundle.
What sort of angle's that, you bastard? Where do we go from? Well, fuck it. Let's just stop then.
Should we finish?
What's
the point, Joe? Because we're going to die.
Go on the piss. No, it's a very... well explained answer that with a lot of things that come with troubles of us as a human race comes with a lack of communication.
Rather ignore it, wouldn't
you? You'd rather ignore it, you rather dream, and then you end up dreaming up other shit and you're not actually communicating with each other what you want. And then in that moment where all your loved ones are going through the darkest time or so much grief, they've still got to fucking try and consider, oh my God, what would he or she wanted here today? What would they have done? And then you're like, fucking, I wish they'd have told us. Do you know, make it a little bit easier and we could have had a nicer time, like actually celebrating the life.
Exactly. And that's the other thing people have issues with is the fact that you have this service to celebrate this person's life, right? And that's a lot of pressure for someone to organise if you don't know what they want. So they're asking you to make a 45-minute or half-an-hour service about all the great things they've done, but you've got no idea what they want. So you've now got to think, oh, what was mum's favourite song? What hymns did mum like? What poems did mum like? Would mum like us telling this story about when she did this? And that is a real issue for people, because you're put in a situation where you're really upset, but you're also trying to represent that person's life as best as you can.
I mean, Joe, we've established that both you and I are going to die.
Also, Fred, you just so you know, you are as well.
Yeah, I know.
Just, so we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, we're all
now.
In the same boat. I agree, yeah.
So, Joe, this has got me thinking. Hopefully you won't die for many long years, but if you are to die, and maybe I'm in some way involved with the funeral...
What?
Oh,
why?
No, maybe you don't get to choose. Or
well,
do you
clearly don't, do you? How can I... Right, Fred... Here's my plan for the funeral, okay. And I don't want X, Y, and Z to be there.
You can't, unfortunately.
You can't fucking do that.
Unlucky.
We've had it before. What people don't realise is like crematorium and churches are public spaces, so you can't stop anyone from attending a funeral.
What?
So we had a funeral once where the family didn't want this person turning up, so they had a bouncer on the door. Oof. Right? I said to them, look, you can't do this because it's a public place, so anybody can turn up. There's no laws against it. They're like, oh, I didn't care, they're not coming in.
Who was the person? Why was he such a beef?
I mean, the issue you have with things is when people pass away, a lot of stuff about them sometimes counts as... I'm not going to comment, but yeah, it was something along those lines. And they, so they turned up, and then this bouncer was like, you know, he had his little badge on, and he was like, sorry, you're not coming in. A bit like if you try to get in China Whites with a pair of trainers on. And I was stood next to him, and I was like, this is only going to go one way. And they've gone absolutely ballistic. And I'm stood there going... And she's going, oh, you know, you help, you get me. And I was like, look, I'm not going to get involved. And then the old bill rank turned up.
Oh,
and then
to get her in?
No, because the bouncer touched her, inverted commas. Oh. She rang the old bill, they turned up. And then the family are coming out of the, because obviously at a crematorium you've got an entrance and an exit. They're coming out the exit, the bouncer and the old bill are chatting. I'm just stood there going, right, okay.
Fuck.
But yeah, mad occasion that was, yeah.
Yeah, it's not often that I'd expect a bouncer to be at a funeral going, no, you're not on the list, you're not coming in. However, Tom, unfortunately for you, there will be a bouncer at my funeral.
Maybe I'm going to come in disguise as Paul Bearer.
Well played, well played.
What have you thought about songs then, Joe, at yours? Adele?
Adele's, she's fucking obviously going to... If she's not there singing it live, then my wife will have failed, because that would be my last request that...
No pressure, Dave.
At my funeral,
so you try and
Adele has to be there
singing.
The loss
of your husband, you need to book the biggest star in the world to come to East Sussex.
I think it's a tough one, Tom, not just in terms of songs, but in terms of the questions of what we're talking about, because I'm more than capable of taking the piss out of absolutely anything. But at the same time, I'm also more than capable of getting really emotional and upset at the smallest of things, like, and even trying to think of a fucking song for my own funeral, I'm like, oh god, it's making me think of all the other funerals I've been to, and like, oh no, Tom, what have you done to me?
Well, so we had this occasion once where you have funerals, either, as I said, in a church or a crematorium, and they also have these woodland halls where you can have them, and it's a woodland burial, and this is before Spotify or iTunes.
Well, like a pagan thing.
It's not like a pagan thing. No. It's
like
a barn, converted barn.
Wood.
Like you go to a wedding in a barn. It's like one of those. Yeah, so it's like that. And so we had this celebrant, which is a non-religious minister. They're called celebrants. So she sorted the music out. The guy was a big Fleetwood Mac fan.
Oh.
So they're like, we're going to have the chain. The chain coming in.
Oh.
So I was like, brilliant.
Boom.
She was like, don't worry, Fred.
Keep talking.
I've sorted the music out. I said, no problem at all. That's fine. So we're carrying the coffin in, and it gets to the bit. So it gets to the bit. It gets to the bit in the song where did. But what she downloaded wasn't the Fleetwood Mac normal version. It was the drum and bass version of that song. As we're carrying the coffin in, that then goes into some sort of dubstep remix.
And you're getting the beat, you have to go with the bass drop, and you're like, and the fucking coffin's just going up and down your shoulders.
And we're all stood there, and what do you do? Because there's an 8-year-old bloke being carried into a chapel, and they're playing some sort of dubstep remix of Fleetwood Mac the Chain. And and then we went, right? And so I was just like, so we went in, had the service, and to be fair to the family, they didn't kick up a fuss about it. They found the funny side of it. But the half an hour of the service was probably the longest half an hour of my life because I was worried that the family are going to go ballistic. And the poor celebrant, she just didn't really know what to do. And I was like, look, it's fine. Don't worry about it. They were fine with it. But this was before, you know, when you used to dial the songs off, like, you know, the internet, and you didn't obviously know what it was.
That is like the perfect situation for me at a funeral. Like something awkward or something...
Icebreaker.
That exactly. It just makes everyone go, fucking hell. Yeah. And just because everyone's full of grief. Everyone's really upset. Well, yeah. I presume everyone. I'm sure there's one or two that are there going, fucking, thank God that guy's dead. But there's always that emotion and energy in the room that and something happens. Like if someone farts, for example...
Or their phone goes off.
A phone goes off, and it's just have a bit of a giggle, and then you can start again. And
yeah, I mean that's the thing, like Joe, like you said, like with funerals on the day, it's very, very emotional for everybody. Lucky that family were right, but it could have easily gone the other way. And then because there's a lot of emotions involved in funerals, people can get quite angry, and then they're looking for somebody to blame for the reason someone passed away, and then they get very upset, and they're like, I don't blame you, but you can tell they're taking out their frustration in the situation they're put in on the funeral director or the celebrant. And that's why sometimes funeral director can be difficult because you go to somebody's house, so you've got the privilege of going to somebody's house, you knock on their door, and you do not know what's going to be behind that door with regards to what the family's going to react. So sometimes you go behind that door and the family are really upset and it's really, really emotional and they're raw and they, you know, they just can't believe that someone's passed away in their family. And sometimes you go around the house and they're laughing and joking and telling stories about people. And it's just where to gauge it from you, you know. And, you know, we're just doing a job for people to look after them in this situation. And this is one of the reasons why I agreed with Steve to come on the podcast, was because I think there's a lot of stigma around funeral directing. And I think there's a lot of people who think we're very odd people for the job we do, which is just like any other profession. You know, we're just normal people trying to help people at the hardest time of their life.
I reckon, Joe, since Fred is here, there's a lot we can pick his brains on. There's a lot we can all learn from. The first thing I would like to know is, what is the best thing, Fred, to say to someone who has just lost a loved one?
The worst thing to say to somebody is, I know exactly how you feel.
Oh,
because they'll then turn around and say to you, no, you fucking don't, because you've not lost somebody. So the best thing to say to somebody when someone's passed away is to say to them, I'm sorry for your loss. And then what you say to them is, you know, had mum, dad been ill for long? And then you get in a conversation about the person, you know, what they did, and then talk about them. So then they feel relaxed with you there. So you're not going in straight away saying, right, what coffin do you want? What flowers do you want? You want to have like a conversation with them because you want them to feel relaxed. And that's why us as a family funeral directors like going around people's houses, because you go around the house, they're in their living room, in their comfortable area, and the dog's running around, or there's a cat, and they're feeling nice and relaxed. So we're not putting extra stress on them. And that's the thing, you know, we want them to feel comfortable because, as Joe touched on, it's a very, very upsetting thing. But we want you to make choices which would celebrate the person who's passed away.
Do they, I think it's a traditional Irish thing, is it? You know, a wake. What's a wake? Is that like when you have...
That's after the funeral. So you have the funeral service, and the wake's held in, say, a pub, a rugby club, a golf course, and
it's
a big old funeral.
And everyone goes back there and has a few drinks.
Okay, so that's
and food.
I'm thinking of the one where
you think in
they
New
have
Orleans.
The coffin in the family home.
Yeah, yeah,
and they have it for the two nights or three nights before the funeral.
That's
they're
my
all
thing.
Sat around drinking on it and stuff like that. Does that still happen?
Not as much as you think.
Yeah,
but it does happen. It's very Irish. Or they have the coffin into the church beforehand. So what happens is a Catholic tradition is to have the coffin before the funeral in the church, before the funeral takes place.
Right, so then everyone goes in
beforehand.
The
they have like a mass on the... Say, for example, the funeral's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we would take the coffin in 5 o'clock on the Monday.
Yeah.
They'd have a short mass. The coffin's left in state overnight. And then they'd come back in the morning and have a full service, full funeral service.
When my grandpa died, coming from an Irish Catholic family, this is exactly what happened, Joe.
Really?
I remember my mum saying to me, I was about 13... Do you want to come and... So he was in the bedroom. Do you want to come and see your granddad? And I said no on
you
the basis...
You were 13?
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm all right.
I didn't want to see him because I thought it would be too upsetting. But everyone else was going in there and having a little sit with him.
And what did you do then? You didn't do
I
it
didn't, and I've sort of regretted it since.
How'd you go about actually preserving that body if I actually want to see that on a Tuesday, but the funeral's not for another couple of days?
So we have in our offices high-tech refrigeration units, so the same they've got in the hospitals. So we've got these high-tech refrigerators which we keep the deceased in. So that's where they're stored. There's like this old wise tale that do this, that and the other. No, what happens is the deceased will stay in our refrigeration unit. So that's where they stay until, unless they're going on their funeral or they're going out to be viewed by the family.
Apart from the clothes that you put them in, do you have to dress the corpse in other ways? Do you have to put makeup on them?
So we don't normally do that. This is one thing which people say, like, oh, you put makeup on. Unless a family ask us, we wouldn't put makeup on or anything like that. If the family asks us to do it, we'll do it.
Do you want makeup, Joe? I'm just making notes for yours.
For me?
Yeah.
I probably would, actually.
How much? Just subtle or showy?
Natural. Natural, just yeah. A bit of... I'll probably have really shit skin. What sort of age?
I didn't want to mention this.
All right, we'll get more into the planning. Let's go back to Fred, please.
The family will ask us sometimes to have somebody in a specific head in a certain way or something like that. So we'll look after all of that side of it. But makeup, yeah, it's not something we do a lot. Like, it's not really, unless the family really ask for it. But, you know, we try and steer away from that as well because, to be honest, it doesn't normally sit very well on the people, if that makes sense. Like, we personally think it's better just to leave people as natural as possible.
Embalming, what is it?
So, yeah, embalming.
How do
yeah.
you go about actually preserving that body?
So, we don't... Embalming is something they used to do back in the Victorian times because they didn't have this high-tech refrigeration unit.
Right, so it's just the fridge that does it for you.
So, we do embalm people, but we don't... It's very, very rare. So, it very rarely happens with the embalming. Majority of people don't be embalmed because it's very intrusive. And also it's quite expensive. Right. For what it is, it's not a very nice process.
How do you embalm, if you are to?
So what they do is they drain all the blood out of the deceased, and then they put what they call formaldehyde, and that replaces the blood, and that slows down the deterioration process.
Do you want this? I'm just making notes throughout this, Joe, for yours.
Do I want to be embalmed? There's part of me that, when I think of embalming, I think of Egyptian pharaohs. Mm. But the way... Fridge just described it slightly not as fancy as I thought it was going to be. No, I'm all right. Mark that down. Don't embalm me. Unless it's a traditional... Unless you do it traditionally like the Egyptians.
As mummy. Tick. Okay.
Thank you. What I'm intrigued, and you mentioned it earlier about the stigma that people think most funeral directors or... What do we call it? Undertakers. Are weird. They're morbid, they're into the fucking dark side of life. From meeting you already this morning, having chat, you're clearly upbeat, bubbly, up for a laugh. Mm. But there must be something in you, apart from being a family-run business, that has to have some sort of emotional cut-off where you're like, well, I'm dealing with a dead body. I've seen a dead body... Two dead bodies in body bags.
Okay.
So I've never actually seen a human corpse with no life in it. Mm. I've only seen, and that was enough for me to go, fucking hell. Like, that's just a lifeless corpse in that bag. You must have to have some sort of.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, it is hard. Like, it's not an easy job. Like, I'm not saying here that, you know, there are days when it's tough, you know, when you've gone and seen a family and they've had a baby and it's 60 minutes old and it dies, you know, and then you're the person entrusted with making sure that baby is looked after and everything's done properly, and they're absolutely gutted. It's hard. It is really hard. And the thing what we always say to our staff is to talk about it, because we've all been there. You know, everything which has happened before, unfortunately. And we say to our staff to talk about it. Don't bury your head in the sand. It is tough. There are times when I've arranged funerals and I've gone back to my office and I've started crying to myself because I think that could be me, in the fact that this 30-year-old lad was out with his mates and he just had a heart attack and died, or he was hit by a bus. And that's the thing, is life is so precious and people don't realise that sometimes, and I understand that, but... When we work where we work, we value, you know, it's difficult. It is difficult. But you've just got to work it out and, you know, speak to people about it. Don't be afraid to say to somebody, I'm struggling with this. Because we're not robots. It's hard. But 90% of the time, it's a normal working environment. You know, when we're not on the funerals and we're in the office and we're having our lunch or we're talking about football or we're talking about nights out or we're talking about, you know, we're not constantly on because I think that would be unhealthy. But when it's time to be serious, we are very, very serious because you've got to be. Mm. Because if you turned up on a funeral and the staff were all larking about and not taking it seriously, it's disrespectful. And that's what is the main thing of funerals about is respect. Mm. It's respecting that person.
How do you not take the day job home? How does that not affect you?
So what I do, this is the way I cope with it. So when I go home at 6 o'clock, 5:30, I'll take my tie off. I'll put my jacket to one side. I'll put on another coat, which I've worn in, and I get in my car. And to me, that's the job done for the day. That's how I departmentalise, whatever the word is. That's how I...
Compartmentalise.
Compartmentalise, that's the word.
Decompress.
I thought you were going to say decompose.
Decompose.
That's the word I thought you were going to come out with.
There you go.
So, sorry, that's
nailed
how...
it.
What's the word?
Compartmentalise.
Or decompress.
That's how I decompress. Yeah. At the end of the day, and that's the end of the day. The thing is, because I'm the owner of the company, what will happen is at night, if someone passes away, my phone will ring. And that's where it's hard for my wife, because we've been married for 6 or 7 years, known each other for 12, 13 years. The hard thing for her is in the middle of the night, the phone will ring, and then I've got to then go into work mode. I've then got to go down to the office, write out where the person's passed away. Then I have to then ring our on-call team, and they will go to the address, and they'll bring the person back to our chapels of rest. So that can be difficult, because the phone can ring 2 or 3 times in the night. So you've got to go from being fast asleep to work mode at a drop of a hat. But that's the profession we're in. If you're not committed to it...
You're not going to be any good at it. You've actually got to invest in it.
But I think,
emotionally.
Joe, I think you'd be really... Joe, I honestly think, and I'm not saying that because you're sat opposite me, I think you'd be a really good funeral director. Because it's talking to people. The actual nuts and bolts of it is to be a good communicator. And I think you are a very good communicator.
Never in a million years had... becoming a funeral director or an undertaker that wasn't the one in WWF crossed my mind. Maybe there is life after rugby. Excuse the pun.
Wrong phrase.
Maybe there is death after rugby.
That is as bad a choice of phrase as when Fred used the phrase, don't bury your head in the sand, which I thought even at the time, Fred, don't use that again
when you go
to visit someone who's lost a loved one.
Right, I'm gonna need a little break to... absorb all of that information and actually call Daisy and go, I might have found a life / death after rugby. So let's have a little break.
On Joe Marler's show.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So those were the adverts. Joe, while the adverts were playing, I've had a little look for the songs most requested / played at funerals.
Oh, some research. Okay.
Yes.
About time you pulled your finger out. I like it.
I see your iPad's empty. So I'm going to give you this one. Number one.
Oh,
I'll tell you what, I'll give you artist. You have to give me the song.
Go on.
Jerry and the Pacemakers.
I thought you were going to say Jerry Halliwell then.
Jerry Halliwell. With...
Jerry and the Pacemakers. Fucking hell, that's not a good choice of artist, is it? There's loads of people that die of heart attacks.
That's very true, yeah.
You'll Never Walk Alone.
Nice.
Is it? That's number one.
Apparently it's number one.
In the UK?
In the UK. Number two, Frank Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon. Let me...
And now...
The end is near.
And so I face...
The final curtain.
My final curtain, isn't it? Okay.
Sorry.
Right, are we doing all 10?
The next one, I'm going to give you the top 5. Number 3... is it goes down as Eric Idle, I'm going to say to you Monty Python.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Number 4, Tina Turner.
What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it.
I'm your private dancer.
Bush Tell Me.
Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, is it? Fucking hell. That's my gig.
It's not Tina Turner's Private Dancer. It is Tina Turner's
Rolling. I don't know any other Tina Turner.
Must Put Sea Limits, no?
Where the fuck?
Tina Turner's song, you wouldn't say to someone, you're the second most impressive person.
The first most impressive person. You're simply the best.
It's time to say goodbye on that list.
Time to say goodbye. Fred, it is. It's at number six after Sheeran's Supermarket Flowers at five. Time to say goodbye, Bocelli and Brightman.
It's with Step Brothers. I think I'm singing.
Fred, I needed you with me then.
Sorry, Joe, I've not got that in me, unfortunately.
Sake, I don't know any Latin, so that's why I had to do the humming.
I liked it.
We float between light and dark on this pod. Let's float with the light. What are you having at your funeral, Tom?
I did think about this on the train down, Joe. Can we assume for the purpose of this discussion I've led a full and happy life? Because if I drop dead on the train the way home, A, it's awkward for Steve's because we're in the same table seat, but also it might be sad. Let's say I've lived a full and happy life.
It's important that you said it might be sad.
It might be sad. You might be fine with it. You might just leave me at Macclesfield. I think, Joe, my instinctive reaction would be to try and cheer everyone up.
Free from desire. Free from desire.
Go on. Tommy, you having burial or cremation?
Oh, why
does you have a cremation, they could sing Four Dice on Fire.
This could see why Fred's got his job.
Fred, you're
that could work. That could work well.
Fred, you helped me plan my funeral then. So, yes, I'm being cremated.
Yeah.
Cremation or burial for you, Joe, because I need to note this down on my list.
I worry that if I went for a burial.
Big plot.
I'm thinking of the pallbearers. I'm thinking of the two mates that I've got. Because you need, how many do you need to carry?
So for you, Joe, it'd be a six. It'd be a six-man carry.
So if I've only got two mates,
we've got four of my staff will put their shoulders in.
So there are people that can help carry.
Buy some death mates, basically.
Yeah.
So, I've still got to shell out for mates, even though I'm dead. Fuck's sake.
So yeah, it'd be probably six-man carry.
It's got to be. I'm assuming this has to be an even number.
It's either four or six because of the space. You've got to remember a coffin's normally about 6 foot, 6 foot two. So if you've got more than six, there's not enough space for people to walk. So it's got to be four's the ideal number, but sometimes we go to six.
Do they have to be roughly the same height?
On the back, you probably have Mario Toje and Freddie Stewart. They're pretty tall.
Yeah.
In the middle, you're probably looking at your Underhills and Curries. You know, they're about that medium height. And at the front, you probably have Jamie George and Luke Cowan-Dickie, you know, going down in height order. That's probably, or maybe Harry Randall, possibly Randall.
That's
at the
a
front.
Curveball.
Randall probably is a, in case George cries off, so you probably fit Randall in there just in case.
There's not a chance in hell I'm going to be remained in that coffin that entire journey. With the lads that you've just selected, they're fucking dropping me, mate. I'm definitely spilling out of that. Have you, out of interest, have you ever been involved in something like that?
So, no, we haven't, because...
Because you do a top job,
no,
obviously.
I think it has happened with regards to... But that's more, not someone falling through a coffin, but the handles of the coffin coming off, and then the coffin slipping off people's shoulders. What you've got to remember is obviously, the majority of the time, we carry the coffin. So we're professionals.
Yeah.
We've done it countless times, so we know how to carry a coffin. What you've got to remember is sometimes you have family members say, I want to carry a coffin. And sometimes I think that's a really bad idea. But we can't say to people, that's a really bad idea.
You've got to
go, no problem at all. That's fine. But then what happens is they turn up on the day and the coffin's quite heavy and then they're struggling and you're like, so then one of our staff will just step in.
Right.
But majority of times when stuff like that happens, it would be mainly because the handles come off. I wouldn't see someone falling through a coffin because they're reinforced.
Your heart must be in your fucking throat, though. Like,
yeah,
if you see someone struggling, like, oh my
legs
God,
start shaking.
Oh no, we've got to get in there quick.
I would say funerals, for me as a funeral director, can be quite stressful because the music might go wrong. You know, the photo montage won't work or the web stream won't work. I mean, when we had COVID, that's why it was really difficult for us because we're in an industry where we want to give anything to the family. So the family say to us, we want doves. No problem at all. We'll get you doves. We want dad to go on the back of a tractor. We'll sort that out for you. We want a white sparkly coffin. We'll sort that out for you. No problem at all. And then this thing came along called COVID, which no one knew anything about. And then the government were like, right, well, now you can only have 10 people at a funeral. And also, just so you know, if someone passes away with this disease, they're not allowed to come and see them. So we've immediately gone from an industry where we're telling people you can have whatever you want to now saying to people you can't have that. The hardest thing for me in that whole process, I arranged a funeral of a family, a lady who passed away, very popular, very well known in our village. Yeah, there were going to be 300 people on this funeral. This was 2 weeks before Boris gave his speech. Boris gives his speech. This lady had 10 people at her funeral. She's buried in the churchyard. They had speakers set up, ready for all these people to turn up. And she had 10 family members, a burial, all socially distanced apart. Breaks your heart. It absolutely broke my heart. And I was like, well, I didn't know what to say to the family. And they're, you know, really upset their mum's died. And basically, they've had 10 people, and they couldn't even give each other a hug or anything. And you think, that is hard. That is really hard to say to somebody, you're going to have this really big party, but now actually you can only have 10 people there. You know, it's difficult. And the other thing for that was with our staff. My staff are brilliant. I love my staff to bits. But I had to stand there and say to them, just so you know, there's this really deadly virus going around. It's killing people. Don't want to get it. It's really, really bad. If you get it, you're going to end up on a ventilator in the hospital. But just so you know, if someone passes away from it in a nursing home or in a hospital, you're going to have to go there and bring them back to our mortuary. And at the beginning, you know, scientists didn't even know what it was about. So how would I, a funeral director from the West Country, know the best protocols for my business? And yeah, it was hard. It was hard. And like, it was hard seeing the families because, as I said, there was a lot of funerals where there was like no one there and it was just really sad and you just feel really sorry for people. It was very uplifting sometimes where we would go to somebody's house and there'd be hundreds of people lying in the streets, clapping the family through, clapping the hearse. That real community spirit was really good. But it's also heartbreaking.
Is everything back to normal completely now?
Yeah, we're all back to normal. My staff, I still advise to wear face coverings in public places because you imagine if we do 3 funerals a day, that's 15 funerals a week.
You do that many a day?
Yeah. We do about 3 funerals a day.
Fucking hell, so, you must be stressed out your tits.
No, I've got to get through three funerals a day. It's not me personally. Our company would do 3 a day.
Right, okay.
But it's hard. And I know COVID was hard for everybody, and I understand that completely. But there were times where I was a bit like, you imagine, like, you're expecting 300 people to turn up to the funeral, and you're there with, you know, your family, and all stood 2 metres apart. It's horrendous. Really bad.
Fucking awful. Do you think you'd end up getting 300 people coming to yours? You're quite a popular bloke, aren't you? You're not one of these characters that upsets people.
He's got Team Ineos. They'd all turn up because of Geraint, you know. So he'd have that. That's what's that. And the bus. So that's probably 10, 12.
Fucking hell, we're still a long way short of 300.
Brailsford, would he be there?
No, realistically.
No. Oh.
There's a WhatsApp group that all me and all my cousins are on. And bear in mind that my mum was one of 8 kids. There are 20-something cousins. The offspring of the cousins, we were now up to over 100.
Jesus.
On the offspring of the cousins. I think we're on 102. So if I got the whole of the Hull family to come off the Essex marshes and come along, we bumped up a certain amount.
Yeah.
Your family live on marshes?
Marshes on the Essex marshes.
What, like?
They're subaquatic.
Subaquatic?
How many are you getting, Joe?
Oh, it'd be a state funeral. It'd be a state funeral. It'd be like Princess Diana.
I'd say no more than 11.
Do you want me to be one of the pallbearers?
What? No, I want to be burnt. Not burnt, I want to be cremated. I can't, I'm claustrophobic, for starters.
Yeah, you'd be dead, but anyway. Yeah.
I know, mate. We're meant to be respecting each other's requests here. Okay, note this down, please. Okay. If I find out, for some reason, that there's an afterlife, and I find out you fucking shoved me in a coffin and I'm not being put into ashes.
Yeah, let me just write this down.
Ridiculous.
What
ridiculous.
About, where would you like to be sprinkled?
Based on now and my love for the sea, I'd like to be sprinkled in the sea. But then you go, what's the fucking point in sprinkling me in the sea? Because it's only going to wash up on the fucking thing anyway and make it all frothy.
You have to get permission. So you couldn't just turn up at the stoop one day and just chuck them on the pitch before the game.
You could.
Well, you technically could do anything, didn't you?
But yeah, even as a former player.
Well, he'd be all right, but I'm talking about Quinn's diehard fans. But what I say to people is, if you want them scattered, say at the beach, if you went down to the beach on like a morning in November and you scattered them subtly, that'd be okay.
Bank holiday in August.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is the thing, though, Tom. People do that and they don't realise why they get in trouble because they're... we had someone tell us we're not allowed to do that. I said, well, obviously not, because you're scattering someone's remains in a public place.
If someone's just slapped a
load
of sun cream.
What sort of trouble are we getting in for that? Is that a fine or is it
a fine,
thing or something?
Yeah, maybe a banning order from the area, possibly. Yeah,
this is the last time you can scatter ashes in this area.
possibly. I don't know. You might, Asbo maybe? I'm not
it
sure.
Is, I don't know. It is a weird one. It's not a weird one. It's an interesting one because you always talk about these different requests. There's people that have, they have ashes put in ink and a tattoo done.
And they do jewellery as well.
Jewellery, making it in, to put it in diamonds
fireworks.
Or something like that.
Fireworks.
So what people, some people, it's a new thing. So you send them off to this company and they put them in the firework. He'll come down and do a display for you and light the fireworks.
But there is always that thing. How do you know he's using the ashes or whoever they are using the ashes? You go, yeah, I'll have them. He's fucked them off in the bin and he's just set up a load of fireworks that he's got from the corner shop. Really.
So that is a question we get asked a lot, Joe, honestly.
How do you know that's actually correct?
So that question gets asked a lot. People ask me that. Oh, we heard that basically they cremate everybody at the end of the day and all this kind of stuff. If you went to a crematorium, I mean, you're obviously not, but if you went to your local crematorium and asked to look round, it's very, very open. They would allow you to go and have a look at how the whole process works. It's really interesting. All the coffins are assigned like a number. That number stays with them from when the service finishes till when you handed the cremated remains back.
Would the ashes you get, that also includes the ashes of the coffin, does it?
Yeah. So the only things which is taken out of the ashes are the metals. So the metal screws, if you had a ring on, for example, if you had a metal ankle. After they cremate the coffin, they have this magnet type thing which goes over and it takes all that stuff out. And then the cremated remains are then put in what they call a cremulator, which is like a tumble dryer, which has got four massive ball bearings in, probably size of grapefruits. And then that fine makes the ashes the fine dust which you get given back to you.
Do you know what temperature we'd need to be at for us to?
I think it's about 400 degrees. And the average person probably takes about an hour and a half to be cremated.
An hour and a half?
Yeah.
That seems a lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's quite a long process.
You know, you see the curtains. Have you been to a cremation? The curtains and the slowly closing and the coffin going slow. They don't light it there and then, you knob.
What about that James Bond film where he's in the coffin?
No. What? When have you ever been to a cremation and you've seen the... Where does that go?
Yeah, so the curtain's shut, as Joe said, and then the coffin is taken behind the chapel. That's where they keep the cremators, and then the coffin's then put into the cremator. But one thing people don't know is if you wanted to watch the coffin being cremated, you can watch the crematorium staff put the coffin into the cremator. In some religions, they like to be the last one to touch the coffin. They've reduced it now because of COVID, but before COVID, you'd have like 15 people back there and they're all trying to be the last person to touch the coffin.
Awkward.
And as you can imagine, it's 400 degrees and you're a bit like, don't get too close to that, you know, because if you get too close to that, then you're going to do yourself some damage.
Yeah? Hey, you play with fire.
Yeah. I like it, Joe.
Thanks.
This episode is sponsored by the following. Whoa, Nelly, it's Ellie James. The Mayor of Ware, it's Ken Mayer. The Claire Bear, Claire Blako or Blacko. Can you see him from the trees? It's Jim Wood. AJH, it's Andrew John Heath. The long arm of Alistair Blacklaws. The Professor Chris Getty. The Saint Louis Morgan. Young man, there's no need to feel down. It's Ryan, young man. It's Sit Down James. The real McKay, it's Andy McKay. Jonathan the Pratt and Neil von Hinton Reed. To be more like all of them, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show, become an official sponsor, and grow the show today.
What are the strangest requests you've had in terms of...
So we've had a lady once recorded her own eulogy before she died, and then she played it during the service.
What? I like that.
What?
But she didn't tell anybody she was going to do it. So they just press play during the service.
I'm going to ask this question on behalf of Steve.
Fucking hell.
Did she have a quality mic?
It was a good recording of it, actually. We had people...
Hang on a minute. She didn't tell anyone?
No. But obviously, she told her husband, but none of the congregation knew about it.
Right. Just for a second, Tom, you picture yourself in this church or wherever it is, the crematorium, and I've gone.
Do it now. So we're at the very sad day Joe's so passed away.
Do my music. Funeral music.
Free from desire.
Fuck's sake. Man, this really got out of hand. Okay. Just do some sad music.
And I'm going to basically be the celebrant. And before we go any further, we'd like to play you the following short message.
Hello. It is me, Joe. I know some of you might think that Nelson Mandela is in attendance at Joe's funeral today, but I am not. I am dead. Mm-hmm. I am actually Joe, but I am also dead. But I will have you all know I am here with Nelson, enjoying our time together and perfecting my impersonation.
Or I'd be like, Tom, and because no one knows, and it's just, but you know it's my voice. Everyone's looking around like,
shit,
where the fuck, he's faked it all. He's actually at the back of the thing. That would scare the fucking life out of me. If I was there and that woman just started speaking, I'd be like, oh, I'm not sure about this one. Mm. But did they find it funny, do you think?
No. They were very happy with it. Some things which you might find strange. People, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? And it's as I said at the very beginning, it's a celebration of that person's life. You know, in Live and Let Die, they have that band, you know, you play in front of the... We've had that on a funeral before.
Like a New Orleans marching band.
Yeah, I was a bit like, this is a bit mental. But they had like a New Orleans marching band. But
Fucking hell!
The worst thing for a funeral director is a bagpiper, right? Because...
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, but also you've got to walk... So what we do as a funeral director is we walk in front of the hearse. That's called paging. Mm. So you page in front of the hearse. When you get to the crematorium of the church, you walk in front. But the family have paid for this bagpiper, so they want him to walk with you. So then you've got to spend 20 minutes listening to some bloke play some out-of-tune bagpipe in your left ear. And you're just going, oh, my God. And then you obviously can't say anything, but then he's playing, like, Flower of Scotland on repeat. Because he only knew two songs, which is like...
There's only two songs that really work with bagpipes.
And then he was like, oh, do you like bagpipe music? And you're like, love it. Yeah,
not any fucking more.
That's the opening conversational gambit from a bagpipe player. Do you like bagpipes?
Do you like bagpipes?
Yeah, got all the panpipe music in it, listening to it all the time. Sorry.
Walking in front of is paging.
Yeah.
And it's obviously quite slow and controlled.
Yeah. Cyclists. Yeah, I know. Before you ask, cyclists. Cyclists are the worst at that because I've nearly been hit two or three times by cyclists. Never cars, always cyclists. Oh. And then you go in. What are you doing, mate? And they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise. Like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm just walking in front of a car because that's just what I'm doing. Doing, like, Jeff Capes putting the car on my shoulders. Like, you know, it's like, look on their face, like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, there's a coffin there and there's a black car. What do you think?
Put that down.
Hold on.
So Fred's going to do my funeral, just so you know.
Yeah.
But I want Fred to pull my, instead of horse and car, horse and carriage, it's Fred and carriage, okay? Yeah. Specifically. And he has to dress like Jeff Capes.
With the black cap.
Okay. What in the... Because this happens to all of us, Fred. You might be walking, you might be driving or on a bike, and you see a hearse coming towards you, and you can see from the cars behind you that it is on the way to the funeral. How should we act? Should we stop? Should we bow our heads?
If you're in a car and you're driving towards us, just drive past very slowly. If you're coming towards us. If you're on the side of the road, take a hat off maybe, bow your head. That's fine. If you're behind us, don't overtake the hearse and limousine. The other thing which happens, so you've got the hearse, you've got the limousine, and you come out of a junction, and some belter will be like, I'm not waiting, I'm going, and they're in between the hearse and the limousine.
I'm just picturing in between us. There's a scene in the in between us. They're like in a rush, and he's trying to pull out. And he's like, no, fuck it, go! And Jay, his mate, go now, it's clear. And it's only clear because they're going so fucking slow. And they're in this yellow fucking Fiat Punto, and he's like, oh, fuck, and the people behind like, fucking get out of the way,
That does happen more than you think. Honestly, it does. Like, it does. And people just need to be more aware, would be the word I use to describe it.
I've got a couple of other hearse-related questions, if I could fire them at you, Fred.
Yep.
How fast can a hearse go if it has to?
So, they can go pretty fast. We don't normally drive
Never seen one go fast.
We don't normally drive them fast when we've got a coffin on board.
Probably, but that's why, then.
Yeah, But if there's no coffin on board, we'd probably drive them at, say, 40, 50 miles an hour. The majority of them are converted cars. Huh. So what they'll do is they'll get a Bentley or a Jaguar and they'll chop it in half. They'll put an extra second length in it and then change the roof so it's in the hearse shape. So that's what they do. So the majority of the cars have actually got the same engine as a normal Bentley, Jaguar, Rolls Royce, etc. So they can go pretty fast.
Is the wooden platform, is that hollow? Is it, or is it a storage area?
So it's a storage area, but normally that's where we keep like a trolley or what we call webs and stuff, which help us lower coffins into graves. So we use it as a bit of a storage area.
Has anyone, like when a hearse is at the end of its useful life for a funeral director, do they get purchased by Gothic people?
Yeah, you can buy them. You can buy them.
To be honest, looking at them, it's actually got loads of space. This
well,
could
if
actually...
a family holiday, it would be actually be quiet because the boot space is
fantastic. I'm looking at a Ford Norwood, yeah. And it's a TDCI modern hearse. There's fucking loads of boot room, obviously, but this one's got seats in the front and the middle. Like the, so that's would fit all the kids, and then we could just put the dogs in the back. And then people would always let us out as well, wouldn't they?
Who wore a black suit, you could just walk in front.
There's one way of beating the traffic then. I'll fucking go for that then. What other strange quests have you had?
People turn up in fancy dress sometimes.
The deceased?
No, the mourners. The mourners. People have strange coffins. Like
you can I thought all coffins were like just bog standard.
No. You have. There's loads of different coffins you can have.
Like what?
So you can have a cardboard coffin, a wicker coffin.
Fucking hell, can you imagine trying to carry me in a cardboard coffin?
And you can have coffins, so you have like the standard...
I'm fucking falling... How's someone getting a cardboard coffin?
Well...
Do they not... Surely you can't carry them in that?
Yeah.
But they fall straight through it, mate.
It's got a solid bottom.
So you can Joe.
But what people also can have is like, you can have... It's like a parcel which says this way up.
What?
Yeah.
So you can literally have anything you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can have whatever you want. White coffins, sparkly coffins, you can have anything.
On average, how much is a funeral going to cost someone?
So if you use an independent funeral director, which is a family-run funeral director, yeah.
Which we
are,
should. Is that,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, you should.
You encourage, because you've obviously told us why you're so good at it.
Anyway, they're about, for a funeral, for a cremation, hearse, standard veneered oak coffin, bearers, flowers, orders of service, about £4,500.
Are you charging a little bit extra because I'm asking you to pull it yourself?
No, I wouldn't charge any extra.
Oh, you do it for free?
But as long as...
Can you get that written down? Let's get this being a contract. Yeah. You're looking at about £4,500,
yeah.
If, let's say, when Joe passes eventually, he has spent most of his money, Fred, I need to knock off $1,000 from the total. Where can I make my savings?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So if you don't have limousine, a lesser coffin, etc. That's where you can save some money. You know.
So the cheapest option is the cardboard coffin, I'm guessing.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't suggest anyone having a cardboard coffin. We stock them because people want them. But I always advise my family not to have them because, as you said, Joe, they're not very sturdy. Not the bottoms, but the sides. So that's why, and they also creak a bit, which I don't think is appropriate.
Right. So I'm not going to make the savings on the. In fact, Fred, I'm going to give Joe a treat. I'm going to give Joe a proper send off. If I double that. If I'm willing to go up to 8 to see Joe off in style, where would I be best off spending my money?
Cars for Joe's family. That was for one limousine, so you could have 4 or 5 limousines.
I ain't got fucking hell. How big's my family?
Are they having a car
each? They're having a car each.
Children, partners, cousins, Quinn support staff, you know. So, yeah, and flowers.
More flowers.
Yeah.
I like a flower, actually. Mm. Surely you need to know a little bit about flowers, don't you?
I don't know too much about it. But people like the letters. So that's what people, a lot of people have, like mum or grandma. So I was up at the crematorium a couple of weeks ago and someone had dickhead in letters.
How much did it cost me to get a dickhead?
Well, what do you mean someone had dickhead in flowers?
Yeah, letters, yeah, dickhead. But yeah, that's what they wanted, that's what they got, so to speak.
How much did the doves cost to me?
The dove man, he's on a good one, the dove man, because he charges... £250 for the first dove, and then £50 for the second dove.
Okay,
and then £30 for every dove after. So if you want 3 doves, it's costing you like 300 notes.
This first dove better be fucking massive. Nuts. Do you know what I mean? This dove, like massive chest, like the nicest feathers going.
What's his coo like?
Oh. The dove from above. Cool. All you have to do is Iranu, and it comes flying back to you. That's what I want from that. £250 for a fucking bird to show off its wings.
Does the dove man, right, does he lose all those doves or has he trained them? Are they homing doves?
Homing doves.
What?
They fly back to him.
Why are we not in the dove man business, Joe?
Well, I think we will be after this.
My final question for you, Fred, is have you planned your own funeral? And if you have, talk us through it.
I haven't planned my own funeral.
You've just sat here and told us to plan our funerals appropriately.
Fred, I hate to break it to you, you're going to die.
I have got an idea in my head what I want.
Talk us through it, come on, let's brainstorm it.
So, I'd like to be buried with my wife in our local church.
What, which is she's still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a grave dug for two people. So both of us can go in together. So that's what we'd want.
I thought it might have been a case of, look, love, sorry.
Romeo and Juliet.
If I'm going, you'll come with me, even if you've got another 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
No, yeah, that'd be nice. Nice service at our local church. And then a wake at the local pub.
Would you get mates' rates?
Hopefully, because hopefully my family will be still running the business. So hopefully when I die, I won't have to pay for it. But you never know, we might sell out, but hopefully I won't have to pay.
This has been brilliant. It's been brilliant because my concerns about coming into it and thinking it's going to be quite heavy and the way you've come across, the way you've spoken about those bits and bobs has been brilliant.
Thanks.
You've spoken so openly and honestly about it that, like you said, you said first off, me and Tom, we're going to die. Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry.
That is a matter of fact. Yeah. At some point, we're all going to die. So why the fuck would we avoid talking about these things? Mm. In the same way we've spoken about mental health in the past, the issue comes when you're not communicating with these things.
Correct.
And the more you openly talk about the darker things in life, the more comfortable you are about it. It's not disrespectful. I'm sure there'll be times, there'll be people that listen to this and they'll complain that at times we might have come across as disrespectful talking about the death, but the intention and the context isn't disrespectful.
And that's, like I said, Joe, like with funerals and stuff, they are hard. We understand that. All we want to do is respect people and also respect the person who's passed away because we just want their wishes. Because it's a hard time. We understand that. It's really hard.
Fred, it's been brilliant having you on. Thank you so much for coming on, mate. I've had a great laugh, but also really enjoyed your company.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, mate.
Joe, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was a lovely guest, but also, and possibly more importantly, a very lovely human being.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him. I loved the way that he spoke passionately about how important it, like, it's not just a job. Obviously, it's a family business he's done, but he properly buys into it. He said whatever they want for whatever service they're trying to have, and we will accommodate everything. Oh, he's just really nice. I like the way he spoke about it. And obviously trying to change the sort of stigma or stereotype of stiff funeral directors. I shouldn't have used stiff. That was such a bad word.
No, but you did so well because you used the word stigma and stereotype and I felt this great glow of pride and then you fucked it up.
Yet again.
Well, if you enjoyed that as much as Joe and I did and you would like to support the show, you can now subscribe on Apple, Spotify and Patreon. Search for, guess what, Joe Marler Show. For £1 a week, you can get bonus content, ad-free episodes, and you'll be growing the show at the same time.
Yeah, and if you want to get some merchandise, also known as merch, ridiculous that I have to call it that, you can go to joemarler.co.uk/shop, and you can order your bits and bobs today.
Superb, Joe. If you would like another podcast to listen to before Joe and I are back together in a week's time, let us recommend .com. This is the documentary series about the people of the internet. They did show a sensational series about Wikipedia. There is another one out now all about Reddit. So if you think the internet is this weird, anonymous, faceless place, think again, my friends. Search for .com and get to know the people behind the screens.
Right, who's on next week's show, please?
Joe, it is a fashion designer.
Well, what the fuck are they going to say about me and you?
Well, you.
Pardon?
And that's the sort of bitchy chat that I expect. See you then.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
Sports Social Podcast Network.